You're listening to DraftKings Network.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV, copyright 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Amin, would you rather go to Alcatraz or Mickey Jail?
I don't know what Mickey Jail is.
Mickey Jail is like Disney World jail.
Oh, Alcatraz for sure.
Me too.
Why?
Me too.
Active. Alcatraz for sure. Why? To Alcatraz or to Mickey Jail? Alcatraz.
You've been to Mickey Jail.
I feel like Alcatraz is, first of all, it's cool.
It's freezing.
I did some time at The Rock, you know? Like, that's a, here's the thing about Mickey Jail.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you already.
It's probably awful, but no one will ever believe you because it's Disneyland. Like, come on, how hard could it be? But I think that they're putting you to work down there in like slave labor camps. Yeah.
Okay, that went.
Prison labor? Is that the word I was looking for? Sorry.
So in Disney World, everything's underground.
Yes.
Like they built everything up like two or three stories above the ground. So you have all the tunnels because when they made Disneyland, like Walt Disney got pissed off because he saw like people that were dressed like cowboys walking through like Tomorrowland that's like space themed or whatever. So they built all these tunnels where Walt Disney's head may or may not be.
No, his whole body, there. No,
was just
it his whole body?
Just the head.
Really?
Yeah.
So they cryogenically froze just his head.
Yeah, because the rest of the body is irrelevant.
But how does that work? So like do they then reattach that head to like a robot body?
Have you ever watched Futurama?
No.
Okay.
But I know of it.
Yeah, they put the heads in like...
But it could just go on anything
in the future? On a robot body probably, right?
You could make it like... It could be like a spider robot.
Yeah.
It could be any kind of robot.
They've done that before.
Our obsession with death makes us do crazy shit.
I mean...
Our obsession with death?
Yeah.
Humans.
The collective society's obsession with death, that we don't want to die. Walt Disney just decided, I'm going to freeze my head.
Right.
Because maybe in 300 years' time, there'll be a technology where I can be reborn and live forever because my head has been preserved.
I like the idea of Walt Disney being reanimated 300 years from now. And he's like, because he died as like this visionary guy that had this great thinker, whatever. And in 300 years, he goes, what if we invented phones without cords? And you're like, Walt, come on, man.
But Billy, you're saying 300 years. That's the first thing I was thinking about right now, which is right now. They bring them out right now. And you tell them, like, by the way, this thing right here does everything for you. Like, what do you mean?
And also, we'd be so skeptical of them. Think of, like, how skeptical we are now of Musk. And like Musk just wants to get us from Miami to Orlando in an hour underground, and we're like, what a kook.
No. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. That Musk is full of shit.
What?
Right? Like, that's the difference. Like, didn't he come out and say, like, one of those
Those hyper tunnels that he claimed just because he was trying to break some project up.
Full of shit. He was just doing the cock box something else. That's the only reason why he came up with it, why he said it. Like he had no, it was just complete fraudulence, right? Like Walt Disney, for being a very strange man, by the way. Like, we don't talk about that enough. Like, this dude was certified weirdo, right?
There's a lot of shit from old Disney that is very problematic.
Problematic!
Problem.
He's a problem. But
to it.
he, like, at least the stuff that he was trying to do, he got done. Some of it, right? Same thing with Steve Jobs. Awful human being, by all accounts, right? Awful human being. Awful parent, awful boss, awful everything. But visionary, made a lot of shit happen.
Who do you think's the best visionary?
The best?
Yeah, because we touched on it with Sure a little bit, right?
Did we?
Well, we touched on the billionaire situation and how you have to step on a lot of people's necks to become a billionaire.
Yeah.
So who do you think is the best visionary that's most pure?
Well adjusted? Or
No.
Oh, doesn't have evil intent.
Like, not a shit person.
Oh, not a shit person.
Well, and also be careful because, they all have great means. So, if this gets any of them.
Have you ever heard the story of, the start of Microsoft? There was a really, really good made-for-TV movie on TNT, years ago. It was called Pirates of Silicon Valley. And it's about, how Gates and Steve Jobs and Paul Allen and all these guys got their start. And Bill Gates was ruthless as hell, man. I mean, he was cutthroat as can be. And just wilding on people. Crazy, right? It's funny. He was
I call him Wild Bill.
Yeah, there you go. He was the visionary, of course, but also unhinged. And Paul Allen was the cool one. And Steve Ballmer was the fun guy. Like, the way you see Steve Ballmer right now, it's exactly who he is. He's always been the same kind of guy. Maybe Steve Ballmer is the answer to that. I don't know if he's a visionary, right? He's a hell of a salesman, though.
Isn't there a famous clip of Steve Ballmer saying the iPhone is wildly overpriced and will never catch on?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Like,
he's half right.
The Zune. Roy was like, and?
I still have my Zune.
The Zune was, I believe, a Steve Ballmer.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, he championed that thing. And you know what the funny thing about the Zune was? The Zune versus the iPod? The Zune had an AM/FM radio on it as well. And they thought, this gives us a leg up on the iPod because it's more functionality. And in reality, it just made them look old and dated because they were reaching back to something that was on the way to obsolescence. And Apple's thing is always move forward. We're going to get rid of the headphone jack on the phone. We're going to make it into the small, Apple's thing is always trying to push you. It actually pushes you towards stuff that you wouldn't be ready for if they gave you the option.
Yeah. I remember when they first did away with the button. It was I like putting my thumb on there and then I get through to the next screen. I like the button. Why did you have to get, I like the, you know, the double tap, mm-hmm. close all my apps, but you adjust to all the new shit that they make you adjust
they
to so quickly.
You.
Right.
They make you.
But in the interest of sleekness.
No. It's in the interest of them saving money. Like, there's no reason why they can't give me the little square that I can plug my iPhone charger into. Now I have to go out and buy one. That's not because they're trying to push me to be better.
No.
They want to sell me the little square that before was free.
I do think that the courts just ruled that there needs to be a universal adapter for all cell
charging.
But then we got some new computers around here, and I love the USB-C to USB-C connection. And now they brought back the MagSafe thing, which used the MacBook.
No.
This is a new MacBook, and they have the MagSafe thing.
No, get out of here.
It's USB-C to the MagSafe thing.
No.
And I actually shouted, those thieves.
What's a MagSafe?
It's the
magnetized.
It's the magnetized, the little tiny rectangle that goes on the corner.
No, that's whack.
How about give me my DVD player back on a computer?
I want to go back to why they got rid of the button. You guys know why they got rid of the button, right?
No.
Because they were trying to emphasize people using Face ID. And as long as the button was there, people were I don't need to do that. So when they, get rid of the button, sure, you can still input your code manually, but the Face ID convenience becomes so much more important. And because of that, they can now collect facial recognition data. But don't worry about it. They said they're not going to do anything evil with it. So let's just take their word for it. Their security is really good.
Their
They used to do the fingerprint also.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, they get more out of facial recognition software than they do from a thumbprint. Because you got to think about how many times does your fingerprint factor in on, like, big data, right? Like, large amounts of data about things that you do, places you go, whatever. Almost never. But your face... Yeah, that one, like, it's everywhere, right? I told the story before. There's a guy who was, like, trolling a little bit Jim Dolan on Facebook about his band, like, on his band's page, right? Like, JD and the Straight Shot, right? And he'd go there and be like, oh, you know, like, oh, good to see you. You got time for this, but you don't have time for the Knicks. Or, you know, something, you know, just very light trolling, right? Persistent, but nothing crossing a line. Goes to a Ranger game. Security approaches him at the seat. Take him down to Mickey jail.
Hmm.
And they're like, interrogate him, da 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 da. And like, you've been flagged for saying, for harassment online. And he's like, what? And it turns out Madison Square Garden has the Hong Kong style facial recognition cameras. Like, as soon as you walk in the building, they're running your face against a database of, like, ne'er-do-wells or whatever, and they're comparing and all that. Now, imagine, Billy, if it was just thumbprints.
And they're using that just to see who's cyberbullying James
exactly,
Dolan.
Exactly. I mean, it's still Madison Square Garden. Like,
I heard a wild story regarding facial recognition that was emailed to me. I'm going to keep the names out of it to protect the innocent, but there was a charity event not too long ago that was based out of a casino. One of the players that was playing in this charity event found a $5,000 poker chip in the elevator. And because he was having such a great time, he decided to gift that $5,000 chip over to the company that was running the entire thing.
Got it.
So he handed it to the wife of the CEO. And the wife of the CEO goes to cash the chip.
Yep.
Problem. They come back and say, according to our cameras, you haven't been playing poker. How do you have this poker chip?
Right.
And there have been all these reported missing chips out there. And so that wife had to sit down there during an interrogation as they vetted the story on how she got the $5,000 chip. So wash your chips at the poker table, guys, if you ever find a $5,000 poker chip. And don't do the Good Samaritan thing, which is just return it.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say that happened to you. Where'd you get this chip? Do you say, so-and-so gave it to me? Or do you say, it was gifted to me? Like, do you reveal basically who gave it to you?
No, they brought in the person that gifted it. Like, they had to check out their entire story.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, Mike Ryan. You've just been pulled into the room. Someone handed you this chip, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. Whatever, let me go cash it in. I said, where'd you get this chip from?
You just smack the tables and go, I'm gambling again?
Yeah. Well, according to our videos, you don't any winning. Yeah. So how'd you come? Like I'd start singing like a canary, very quickly.
Really?
But I didn't know that it was that thorough. Like if someone just shows up, a $5,000 chip isn't that much in the scope of what goes through those cashier windows. For them to actually back it up and check the facial recognition software to be like, this person's never sat
played, yeah.
at a poker table. This doesn't check out. And to happen instantaneously like that, it gives you something to think about. By the way, the Apple charger thing was a European Union. The courts ruled that there needs to be a universal charging port for all cell phones. The EU is way ahead on all this stuff.
Europe can f- off with about universal charging things. Okay, what? I'm sorry.
No, you're playing both sides. Yeah, they're doing this for you.
No, they're not. No, because when I go to Europe, I need a different charger as well. Get me the three little plug thing that we have here, and I'll be perfectly happy. Thank you very much.
The different electrical outlets by country. I'm completely with you, Billy. I don't understand why that's a thing.
Just dick measuring.
Why couldn't we agree on an outlet? Why couldn't we agree on an outlet?
Yeah, and if you plug in a hair dryer, it explodes. It's so weird.
Oh, yeah. Remember when we were going to record an interview and my mixer exploded because the power brick? Yeah, we were going to record an interview at Chelsea, and I brought a mixer with me.
It was
and
a Pulisic interview.
Yeah,
it was the biggest interview to date.
Yeah, we were going to interview Christian Pulisic, and my mixer exploded because of the power conversion. And like the
room, wasn't dual voltage?
Yeah, the room started filling with smoke. And I had to clear the smoke, and thankfully I had a backup improvised solution. But yeah, Mike and I shared a microphone for that interview.
We shared a proper shit in that moment, but we figured it out.
Yeah.
This is sour grapes because of the Revolutionary War, right? Like, it has to be. It has to be like, we will not conform and do what it is that they're doing over there. We will show them that we're better. And they will come back. They will come begging back to us to be part of Great Britain again because our outlets are superior to those that they have in America.
It's covered in Hamilton.
The outlets?
Kept telling us we'll be back. Cut two. I mean, we were all considering it. Over the last few years, were we not? No,
not there.
I mean, they have not. We have Perry Perry sauce too.
Yeah. By the way, like I just want to throw out there for those of you who don't know, like England has its own. Like, look, the racism this country has, they learned it from somewhere. They learned it from watching you, Dad. Like, let's be real. Like, they've got their own wild ass neo-conservatives over there.
Oh, yeah, and it's a lot slower to trickle in than it has been over here. Like, in part, our growing pains over the last few years have been so dramatic and played out in our streets because I think it's also happening at a more rapid pace over here. So now the people that are on the wrong side of history are fighting like hell because it's like being, as they see it, ripped away from them in record time, whereas the power dynamics in Europe allow for a slower burn as a inch towards progress.
They actually have multiple political parties there. Happy election day, everybody.
Yeah. You guys vote?
I did.
Yep.
Nice.
I did. During a Because Miami episode, I had Billy Corbin kind of influence my ballot, and it was revealed to everybody that I'm still registered Republican.
Yeah.
I have a whole plan about that, though.
So I have...
Mole.
I have a...
Yeah.
Roy, listen to this.
I'm going
to
fight him from the inside.
I have had a buddy. He doesn't do this anymore, but he was working in the state of Arizona, like, in politics on the Republican side, right? And this dude, if you knew him, raging, like, he's like a heartbeat away from being a communist. Like, he is super-duper socialist. But everyone assumed, because he's a tall white guy, that he's down for the cause. So he just kept, you know, like pretending. So then he started like suggesting policy that like any normal rational person would look at as like, wow, that's a very social policy. But he would frame it as like, this will get the liberals upset. This stuff is, you know, they
is
won't.
Your friend Ron DeSantis?
No, but like, it's funny.
No, he's tall.
So he kept doing this and he kept like progressing. And I said to him, buddy, like in a couple of years, you're going to be like the Manchurian candidate. You can like run for like Congress or maybe even Senate. And everyone will just be like, yeah, he's our guy. He sticks up for us. And meanwhile, he's just eroding the foundations of the Republican Party from the inside. And do you know what happened? It's the most, it's the silliest thing ever.
Heart attack.
No, not quite as silly as that, Billy.
That's too silly.
Democrats won, and so technically his position was a nonpartisan position, so he kept his job, and so they won, and he's like, thank God you guys are here, like, I've been pretending this whole time, da-da-da, and he got fired. I said, you gave it away, you could have kept going, you could have kept running with this forever. And instead, no. And now he's out of politics, but he's a lot happier. So Mike, it could be you.
Don't give away the game.
Yeah.
That is the game. So, I feel like there's a party within a party right now.
So you're like, you want to vote in Republican primaries to see like maybe you can like, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it
the
does
Florida,
give me a,
the
it,
Florida Republican primary that is going to result in your favor. Like, I'm not sure.
No.
Like when is that going? Even like, you know, a state primary for president first off, by the time they get to Florida, it's kind of already baked in, which is kind of stupid, right? It's kind of stupid.
Our whole election process.
Right, exactly. A brief political comment. No. It is really stupid. Like, first off, how many states don't matter in national presidential elections? They just straight up don't matter. It's like the election is decided in seven states and the rest of you are just kind of having a nice time.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the primary process, if you don't go early, then your vote doesn't matter at all. Why? That's stupid.
Do you? So I saw this in Alaska. In Alaska, they're doing how they do it in Australia, which is you don't just pick. It's like an MVP vote. You give your second, third, fourth, and fifth choice.
Ranked choice voting. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it happened in South America quite recently, and it resulted in a communist president because everyone was splitting votes, and then the one that was an outlier compared to everybody else, the communist,
right,
just rose up because everybody was eating at the same trough of votes.
Wow. Dan, I didn't know you were here.
Eating at the trough.
Yeah.
You're a writer.
I want to say this, and I don't want anyone to get upset. We need to normalize the idea that if you're going to have a democratic election and your choice doesn't end up winning, tough shit. As long as they don't subvert democracy afterward.
Yeah. Didn't seem like too long ago where that was the case here. No, I mean, we'd all laugh at the same SNL jokes and just keep moving on.
Right.
It wasn't all kumbaya. I mean, you would still have awkward family dinners, but it wasn't, sure, wasn't this.
Sure, like, you lost. No, I
but,
didn't.
But it's, I'm going to give you, like, because, like, this happens a lot in, like, in the Middle East, right? Where there's a dictator and then they overthrow the dictator and now we have an election and, well, I did an election and then it's like, oh, like, the Muslim Brotherhood won the election. Like, tough shit. Like, that's what you wanted for the region, right? You wanted democracy. You want people to pick. They're not always going to pick your guy. But, yeah, it's funny that we're in that situation now where it's like, now we're the ones. We're like, we don't like that guy.
We still have superior outlets, though.
We do. Electric outlets.
Yeah, power outlets. Yeah.
Billy, you were telling us before the show you were swayed politically by a great campaign here in South Florida.
Oh, yeah. I was driving by the library on Coral Way over the weekend.
Coral.
Yeah. And they had, I don't know what this person is running for, but the candidate had like 50 people supporting her. And she had like these big, like almost like car wash things with her face on them, right? Like these giant flags with her face on it and then like name and then like number on the pole. And they were just blasting music. And there was like a party of like 80 people dancing. And I was like,
what was the song?
I don't remember.
Wasn't
what it
like was. Born in the USA.
No.
Oh, please, no.
You do not understand
it's
Westchester.
It's the Library on Coral Way.
Yeah, no, the Library on Coral Way is in the heart of Westchester. This was like reggaeton was like blasting or something like bachata, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm voting for this person. I don't know what it is. I'm voting for this person.
Do you remember their name?
No, like, I have no idea.
Oh,
but when I go,
how are you going to vote for them?
Well, very,
when
very I go dangerous
to,
game.
When I go to vote, the same. I mean, it's a local like primary. What?
See, that's how it starts.
That's why I consulted Billy Corbin. I'm like,
well, I'm not going to be doing that.
Yo, does that stuff work though? Not what Billy just said, but like those placards that are on the side of the road that's just like vote so and so.
Yeah, there's this candidate that only advertises at gas stations.
Yeah?
Yeah, only advertises.
Like, I'll drop the gas.
And he's in full uniform and Bloomstein, I think. Yeah. Just like, why gas stations? His entire marketing campaign is just, hey, I'm here at the gas stations. Gas station's expensive, right? Well, vote for me. It won't be as expensive. And he's just a judge.
Wait, what's he running for?
Nothing can be done about that.
Nothing can be done, but it's all about visibility and just like...
Name idea.
No one longs for change more recently than when they're at the gas pump. So if they see someone that represents change in full uniform,
but isn't
subliminally, it might... I thought it was a brilliant marketing stroke.
So, Amin, you live in Arizona.
I do.
Right? Are you familiar with Dicks and Butts?
No, I have to answer this question very carefully.
D-I-X-O-N-B-U-T-T-S. Oh. Dicks and Butts.
Oh, wait. Denzel GIF. No, I'm not.
So, Dicks and Butts is this guy in Gilbert, Arizona.
Because
that has just put up a bunch of signs. Go to DixonButts.com, DixonButts.com.
I'm on it.
Make sure you spell it correctly.
And he's this guy, and it just is a bunch of political signs that he's put up all around Arizona, and it just says, not running for anything, just wanted to make a sign. DixonButts.com.
He's going to be a write-in candidate, probably.
He for sure is going to be getting votes.
This guy's from Gilbert, Arizona. I know where Gilbert is.
Yeah, his campaign slogan for a campaign that's not an actual campaign is America Needs Dixon Butts.
Is it Dixon or Dixon?
The slogan is exactly what Billy suggested. America Needs Dixon Butts. Not run for anything. Just wanted to make a sign. The hell crazy. It's also the same web designer that did our buddy Onion, yeah. Connor Onion.
Yeah. Yo, did you guys see that? Connor Onion engage with us on Twitter.
I mean, I would hope so.
No, it was
a very big show.
No, but it was well, there's a couple of things going on. Number one, he could have very easily have taken offense to Mike calling him insecure and all that stuff. Instead, he went with the joke. He loved it. He was like, I'm leaning towards Onion. You know, and so I really like that he didn't take himself seriously. He went along with the joke. But then the other thing I realized was, even though this guy is doing sideline for ESPN and his career is going great, it's I saw all of these program directors of radio stations and other stuff that I guess have a prior existing relationship with them. And they were like, oh, man, you made it to the big time. I'm like, that's right. We're the big time. You get called out on this show, ladies and gentlemen. That means you're somebody. You get a shout
with high level production.
Yes, you get a shout out on the Levitard Show. And guess what? Your life changes.
The Dan Levitard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self check in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Levitard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he sort of just, he keeps, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content, and in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine. Caffeine.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I have a transition. Okay. I realized this morning that I am not at all ready for the football season. I haven't yet begun preparation for my fantasy draft.
Watch Hard Knocks. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I heard your conversation about it yesterday. I might have to binge the first two. But I realized that preseason is such a bastardization of football now that it does not allow me to really ramp up to the season. I don't have any clue of what most teams are going to be doing. For instance, the Dolphins are going to be running a new offense. And I know that they ran some of it against the Raiders on Saturday, but I don't actually feel like I have a grasp as to what the Dolphins are ramping up to. I read about how Mike Gesicki is transitioning. Basically, he even said it himself, from being a receiver to being a tight end. And that could be a real drastic change for him. But is this atypical to most NFL preseasons, where I just feel like most people are analyzing off of last year's evidence and we don't actually have new information on football?
I have a quick question. Can you walk us through your day off if it entails listening to 5 hours of us? Because it feels like that's not really a day off.
I was on a plane, so it was a long travel day, walking through terminals. All that. Got to know what's going on the show when I come back. I feel bad if I come really, we were talking about this yesterday.
You'll get over that.
I'm in on the joke. I know what's going on.
I don't even know who Connor Onion is, and I was here yesterday.
I mean, Billy, I like to, I pay attention. I like to know what's going on. I also like you guys.
Oh, that's Connor Onion is the one who's going to do a broadcast with Jessica's uncle Art Sour Cream.
I don't get that either.
Huh? It was Fred.
It was Fred?
That was Fred Sour Cream. Yeah.
Oh, his brother.
Wasn't there a Jimmy Hot Dogs a couple weeks ago?
Jimmy Hot Dogs.
But Billy, to answer your question, I was also watching a bit of Blackbird as well. I'm almost done with Blackbird.
Is that the thing about SeaWorld?
No, that's Blackfish. Blackfish. Oh. Yeah, it's Blackfish.
Yeah. Also,
not the ocean.
Is that the one? I thought that was the one with Anthony Anderson.
Also,
that's
Blackish. Blackish.
I also marvel at how much time Woody has to do all this stuff, and then I realize, oh, he's a single man.
Yeah. Natalie Portman?
he doesn't have a kid.
Black Swan. Black Swan. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
What was your actual question about the NFL?
How are you getting ready for the football season? I have no idea what's going on. Like, I'm a Dolphins fan, and I have no idea what they're going to look like week one.
The Gesicki thing, I think, is very interesting because people are breaking down the snap counts in the preseason, which is how can you glean anything from snap counts in the preseason?
Well, preseason is a really good indicator of how people plan to use certain people, right? Like, there's people like Treylon Burks.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Tyreek Hill hasn't played a snap, has he?
That's fine, but you're talking about the highest paid. You're talking about the highest paid wide receiver.
Conventionally speaking, you are right, but not in today's NFL. Something happened 3 years ago.
The first,
where you're not showing any cards. You're not showing any personnel, really.
The first two series of the game are the only ones that matter in terms of like what the teams.
Not even
everything. Not even that. But Mike's right. But think about if it's fourth and short and you want to go for it. You're not going to show a play that you want to use in the right. You're going to show a play. You're just going to run it up the middle.
No, it's not even. I don't want to go through the fourth and short because there's bodies colliding. I just want to stay healthy to get to the season. So you're not playing these guys at all. But the Gesicki stuff is interesting because he has been playing some, and he's actually been a backup if you look at the snap counts and the whole thing. We wanted to press Mike McDaniel on this a little bit more. I wanted to ask him a pointed and direct question. Is Gesicki is a wide receiver. He argued he's a wide receiver. He cannot block. You have to block in that offense. Look at George Kittle. He is one of the best blockers at the position in modern times. Mike McDaniel is going to want to replicate that. Do you have the personnel to do that here in Miami? Not with your starting air quotes tight end. I actually was kicking around over the weekend. Miami would be wise, especially considering the fines that were levied for the tampering stuff and the capital they gave up for Tyreek Hill. Might be worth seeing what you can get for Gesicki.
Which would feel really harsh because he's been a Pro Bowl level player. He's been a draft pick that has worked. He's currently on a franchise tag. I wonder, like, that's probably not great trade value. You're on a 1 year franchise
tag. But if you could flip him for someone that fits the system.
That, I mean, that's rare. Like, player for player trades in the NFL, like, you just go to another team. Hell, can I take a tight end that's more kind of block heavy
tight end?
Yeah. I was just saying replenish the capital because they have Smythe, who's been playing well, who can get
out. But Durham Smythe is going to be your starting tight end because he can block, right? Like, that's where we are.
Right. You look at the history of the Shanahan offense, and the tight ends had put up massive numbers just because they were out there. It's kind of sneaky. Everyone looks at the running backs, and it's like everyone goes to Orlandis Gary and Mike Anderson.
Ruben
and so
Drones.
On. Alfred Morris, and so Ruben on and Drones, so forth. But if you look at the tight ends that have had success in that offense, too, guys that were top 10 in fantasy points by the names of Owen Daniels that you would stream all the time. Tight ends have success in that by the nature of their position on the field.
Mike, I feel like you're more confident in the Dolphins' schematic advantage over the rest of the league than even I am. Like, yeah. I'm not buying on it in quite this way. I know that, like, McDaniel is well thought
of. He felt
of.
His aura in person.
No.
Mike is just a big Shanahan guy.
Yeah, it's
the
a Mike
system
Shanahan
works.
Thing. It's a Mike
works.
Shanahan, Gary Kubiak thing. It's moving the pocket. It's rolling out. The system has worked for 30 years in the NFL, and no one's really caught on to it. It's still working. Jimmy Garoppolo almost made it to a Super Bowl. He should have. They dropped an interception. He should have made it to the Super Bowl. I think it's a cheat code in the NFL. I think it's a schematic advantage, and I think it's shown, especially with Kyle and Mike McDaniel, that it can go from place to place. Places that weren't great jobs because they got there to them. They were open for a reason, and they got immediate results with the personnel that they had. Doesn't matter. They come in, they instill their ways, they find the personnel that fits it. They don't really they don't really veer away from it either. It's the system is the system.
I think the interesting thing to note, though, is we talk about preseason snaps and like if it's an indicator for regular season, you know, schematic advantages, is they have Gesicki, who lined up out wide a disproportionate amount from any tight end in the NFL because they used him as a pseudo third wide receiver, or second wide receiver when Devontae Parker and these guys were hurt. But the fact that he's playing in line now, being asked to block at such a higher rate in the preseason, is telling me like that's what they want him to be. And yeah. You're going to have that and do what with him?
Yeah, and they're not a team that like is going to run a ton of 3 and 4 wide receiver. When they do, I imagine you can line them up out there. But they're like, correct me if I'm wrong, they're more of like a 2 tight ends kind of coaching staff, and they try and make players. The only thing that scares me about this is, yeah, I mean, I do trust Mike McDaniel for the moment, and obviously, like you said, his offense works. However, system turnover has resulted in the Dolphins losing great talents before. You think of, for example, Minka Fitzpatrick being traded, and yeah, I mean, they got a good haul for him, but that, I think that haul turned into like Austin Jackson's been a pretty bad offensive lineman for the Dolphins. Like, they lost an all-pro caliber player because he didn't fit with Brian Flores' system, and to lose a good draft pick and a homegrown player in Mike Gesicki because he doesn't fit a system like that immediately sends off red flags for me.
I'd be stunned if we see Gesicki out wide the way that we saw him last year. The whole idea behind this offense is to get your players out in space. Have whoever's guarding the tight end come back to the line so you can have that player in space. We never saw George Kittle really line up wide. Yeah, they did a couple of gadget things and keep the defense honest. But anytime you've seen that offense really take a different shape, it's because the quarterback is a little bit more athletic and they can do a little bit more of the RPO stuff. Matt Ryan wasn't really going to convince you that he was going to be a running threat, but it can work with a passer. It's kind of like Chip Kelly's offense could work with a pure passer too. He would argue that it worked even better with a pure passer. It's just with Tua, it's going to be more pass reliant, and it's going to really accentuate the speed that you have on the outside. And I don't think you want Gesicki on the outside. You want the fast guys on the outside.
The team build is interesting to me too, because it's almost like they built their team and then were like, oh, Mike McDaniel, come and fix it, right? You have all these wide receivers getting money, and then you have a franchise tag on a tight end that's kind of a wide receiver. And then you've got running backs everywhere that you paid. And now you have Sony Michel, and you have Chase Edmonds, you have Raheem Mostert. It's like, what are these hodgepodge of players going to actually do? Because if you're saying you're running 12 personnel all the time, then why do you have Cedric Wilson? Why do you have all these guys to just kind of sit here and do nothing?
I love the dropping of 12 personnel. I almost said 22 personnel earlier, but I don't want to sound like a boob. But I guess we had a conversation for 6 minutes about what the Dolphins are going to do, and preseason offers us very few answers. My question is the NFL now just a sport where you just show up to week one and are kind of pleasantly surprised by what goes on? Because I think even experts, like, I listen to a lot of experts, and they're like, oh, I was watching this person's tape last year, and I'm like going back and watching games from the year before, and I just think it's a completely different context year over year. Like, it's tough to apply things that happened last year to this year. It's almost like you kind of show up blind. You're like, all right, let's see how the Dolphins look this year. They're a completely new look team.
I'm learning nothing from watching the games. The only way that I'm learning in advance of fantasy drafts and just to get a general betting advantage is by reading beat writers that are at practice. And even then, they don't show the goods to the writers. They kick them off at a certain time, but they talk to the players, they talk to the coaches, and they find out which players are making an impact, which players are flashing. And that, you're getting way more from training camp than you could ever get from watching these exhibitions.
At some point, we're going to do away with preseason, right?
No.
Or does it just serve two vital functions to teams?
Yeah, like one, they use it to figure out who's going to make the 53-man roster. So it's players that we don't give a shit about, but they do, right?
It's such a dreadful entertainment product, though. No,
but two, it's kind of crazy. It's part of the, when they sell your season ticket package.
It's part of the package.
Part
yeah,
of the package.
It's bullshit.
I actually like it as like it's a build up to week one. It's like, yeah, I'm watching this Dolphins game, not emotionally invested, get to see the uniforms out there. It's like you can talk to friends, you're at a friend's house. Like, I like a game not really mattering. It's like once the games start week one, I'm going to be freaking out over every possession. So this is nice.
Are you freaking out on every possession?
Is. A Dolphins game? I mean, maybe not freaking out.
Are you even watching every possession? Because like, I'm mainly locked in a red zone.
Dolphins games, I keep on Dolphins
double
games.
Screen.
I mean, if it gets bad, if they're losing, I'll go to red zone.
You don't watch red zone just as a entertainment product, like to watch your team?
What's on TV one? What's on TV? Well,
I only have one TV.
You got, yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, but you probably have like an iPad.
You fool!
How many?
what I do is I'll flip over to Red Zone when a commercial comes, and I will admit sometimes I will get lost in Red Zone. I'll be like, oh shit, I forgot, and I gotta go back to the Dolphins game. But that's about the extent of it.
How many people in the room have a Mike Ryan, Jack Palance setup in their house where it's like a bank of TVs?
I've only got the second. I have a second TV. That, by the way,
I got a second too, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't need that anymore. Wow. I only have one TV.
What do you mean?
I'd say a branch.
You don't need to have multiple TVs.
You could just
don't.
Like
your laptop, an iPad, a phone.
No,
and then
the iPad's too small. I need to see what's going on.
What do you mean it's too small?
It's too small.
I can. There's actually a spot.
No, it's in your head.
No, it's not in my head.
It's 100% in your head. It's too small. If you're holding an iPad here, right, like close to your face.
Yeah, but why would I be watching it here, but also watching it?
You're probably seeing it better, to Billy's point.
100%.
Like your TV.
I need to have it a little bit of distance.
You could have a 55-inch TV that's 20 feet away,
right?
And your iPad screen is larger because it's
closer
to you.
But I have another TV that's smaller that I can actually watch. It's a little bit closer.
Good, this with video games. My friend told me to get a gaming monitor, and I hate it.
What's a gaming monitor?
Gaming monitor is a monitor that has this refresh rate that it doesn't even have speakers on the damn thing. I hate it. It's so tiny. Can't see anything. What,
so what's the purpose?
The graphics look better. I don't give a shit. Like I play video games maybe twice a year during one of my daughter's naps. Like I need to, I want to see what I'm playing. I can't do it with the small screens. Really can't.
What do you have? Like what? Like the school, like elementary school, like cart that you move a TV around on? Like
how'd you know?
Well, you say that. You have this little screen that's close.
I have like a 32-inch screen.
Where is that?
It's in my studio.
But you move it?
Yeah, I just unplug it from the wall and then I put it on top of the TV mount.
Wait,
and then
what?
I've got two of them.
Wait, you're serious?
Yeah.
I thought you were just going along with the bit.
No. You're moving TVs around?
It's a 32-inch TV, guys. It's like this big. It's 32 inches. It's not that big.
You sit it down like on a table around you?
Okay, so picture this. I've got a TV mounted on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I've got a TV like desk, like to put stuff in, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I put that other TV on top of that little desk. So I've got two within like a foot of each other. You get me?
They're not blocking each other?
No. Where does the TV go when it's done?
Yeah, why don't you leave it
back into the studio?
Why don't you always leave it there?
Because my wife doesn't like it. She only allows me for Red Zone.
By the way, this is a perfect opportunity for the antenna, guys. I know it sounds, I got to get a second cable box.
What?
You hit the second TV with the antenna, and you can put either the CBS or the Fox game on.
I do that, yeah.
Roku allows you to stream local channels now.
I know.
Really?
I know, but like... There's a lag. There's a delay.
There's always a delay.
There's always a delay.
Who are you keeping up with?
I like to be as live as possible.
He needs a pure.
Why? Because if you start streaming shit, then you flick on your Twitter and you get spoiled and it's no fun. For example, I was watching a Premier League game this weekend, only available on Peacock, and I get the notification that a goal is coming like 30 seconds before, and it's like,
just don't follow.
Like, what's the point?
I don't look at social media when I'm watching sporting events that I care about. Like, that's what I've learned. It's so freeing.
Yeah.
Because this is what I've learned. I'll watch a game. I'm like, this is a pretty good game. Like, let me see what they're talking about on Twitter. Oh my God, the refs are so bad. Like, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, no, I'm totally with you. That is my favorite part of watching sporting events without Twitter. It's like, I have like different opinions to the common consensus on social media. Like I have completely experienced this game different than anybody else.
I sneaky like the notification or the Twitter when you see it and it's saying something that's already going to happen. So you're like, it's a touchdown for DJ Moore, and I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like, yes.
That's my favorite.
Let me watch this develop.
My favorite is when you're watching with somebody. And you get to sound like a sorcerer. I think they're going to hit DJ Moore on the deep post here. And it's the Scott Hansen. Let's go live to Carolina.
And you're please.
Whenever you go to the Red Zone channel and they're in punt formation,
I love it.
Something is about to happen.
Yeah. Either someone gets blocked or
return for a touchdown or something crazy.
They just
is about
happen
to
in Arizona.
They need
and
to
you're
work
like,
in a
what?
Few fair catches. Just to throw us off. I'm not even kidding.
Shout. That's a great
like
shout.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Let's go out to Arizona. And then they're punting. You're like, oh shit. And the guy's just like.
You want him to do a 5-yard return. Like a simple fall down. They go to commercial. That's a great shout because it's almost like whenever they go to like 1st and 10 from the Giants 8-yard line and they have 92 yards, like, all right, something. A pick six is coming because they wouldn't transition to this unless something was about to happen. Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.